Gatto's Tire and Auto Service, this hour's sponsor. Nice to have you along on 92.7 FM WMMB. No phone calls in this segment because we're taking time and talking to Katie Campbell, serving school board member in District 5, wants to keep the job. Are you crazy, woman? Why do you want to keep this job?
It's good we're not on video anymore because people won't be able to see how many extra silver sparkles I have in my hair from 4 years ago.
I tell you what, I think the last couple of years especially, maybe brought on by COVID and other things that are going on, right, been some of the most contentious I've seen in school board meetings at all. And look, we've had issues in the past, but it seems like it's just gotten worse and worse.
No, you're not wrong. And for me, it's a calling, and if I didn't feel called to try again, I wouldn't be doing it because, you know, it certainly has been harder than anybody imagined it would have been. But I tell people all the time, this is the hardest thing I've ever done, but I know I'm right where I'm supposed to be.
Well, I talked with former board member Andy Ziegler, and he had served an extensive period of time. He and I used to talk about the learning curve in this job. Tell me what you found about the learning curve as a school board member.
Well, I'll tell you.
A lot to take in?
Yeah, it was a lot to take in. But I'll tell you, I hit the ground running. You know, I had 13 meetings between Election Day and my first school board meeting because I said, let's just give them to me all at once. Let me get caught up. Mm-hmm. I visited all my schools in the first couple of months to get to know the principals in the schools. Of course, my kids have been in four of them, so I was pretty familiar. And that helped, too, a lot with the learning curve is because I knew a lot of the jargon, having been a former teacher and having my kids in the school. So that helped a lot. But it is a lot. And, you know, become an expert really quickly in things that you might have never delved into before.
Something you didn't really know. Yeah, I got you. What is the most important issue that you're seeing that these schools are facing right now?
Right now, it's going to be our workforce shortage because, you know, our academic ground we have to recover from the COVID dip that everybody across the state experienced. But if we don't have the teachers and bus drivers and instructional assistants in place, we're not going to be able to do that. And we're facing the same workforce shortage that everybody else is. But we've got to have these people in place. We're working really hard all through the summer to try to get as many of those holes plugged in before the school year starts.
Well, they recently announced bumping the starting pay for any of these jobs to $15 an hour ahead of the normal schedule, but just by a few weeks.
It does help. It does help.
You think that's going to help?
You know, the biggest confusion has been the people who already work for us, who make less than $15 an hour, somehow got the message that they were going to be getting paid less. And so we're trying to get the message out loud and clear. No, everybody is going to be making, of our support staff, at least $15 an hour.
Okay.
And we're doing things like hiring bonuses, and we've made our benefits package better so that rather than waiting 45 days before your insurance eligibility kicks in, we've shortened that to 15 days. We're approving that next week on the board meeting. Yeah, I mean, we had to move heaven and earth to...
So it's an idea of being competitive as an employer, getting these folks
absolutely,
in.
Absolutely, because it's not just pay. It's benefits, it's work time, you know, all kinds of things. So we're working hard to try to make that a more attractive package.
You mentioned recovering from the learning loss during the Rona. We didn't do that well, did we?
You know, the frustrating thing for me as a board member is, you know, all that you can, if you go on the state's website that has all the school grades, district grades, you see 2019 and then you see 2022. Well, in 2020, we didn't have grades because the governor sent us home after spring break and didn't let us come back, so we couldn't test, right? Because the kids weren't even in the building. The next year we did, but school districts had the option to have those grades be official or not. We chose not to because every school district slid, and we didn't want to discourage our students and schools by saying, look how horribly you did. So then we had 2022, but we know what those grades would have been in 2021.
Uh-huh.
So when we look at and see, we can see how much growth actually happened over the last year. We had huge amounts of growth. We had just a few schools drop down from last year, but for the most part, we had schools make, you know, three-digit point gains from last year to this year. And we were literally 1 point away from an A as a district. 1 point away from hanging on to A. So yes, we've had a drop, but it's the same drop everybody had, and we've already been able to see some huge growth over the last year. And remember, this last year, we weren't without COVID. We had all those quarantines.
But we were in school.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
But we had record number teacher absences, student absences, and yet we still made all those great gains, so we did some good work. We're not done. I'm not happy that we're 1 point away from an A, but it belies the progress that we did make over the last year.
Is a conclusion that remote learning just doesn't work well?
you know, it works well for very few people. For very few people. I had a few parents who say, oh, my child thrived with e-learning. I'm thinking, well, you were one of the few lucky ones.
Because, I've had friends who said so. Their kids were geared to it.
Right.
And those who weren't, it was difficult for them.
And some of those
families... I need to be there in person. I'm sorry, I need to be there.
And some of those families said, you know what, we like this so much, we're going to do Florida Virtual School or Brevard Virtual School because our kids really loved this. But it wasn't sustainable. And so many of our kids were unsuccessful. That's why we had to do everything we could that first school year. Of the pandemic to get our kids back in school as quickly as we could.
Katie Campbell's with us. She wants to keep her job in the District 5 school board seat. We continue with her in 1 minute on Bill Mick Live. Katie Campbell with us, holds the school board District 5 seat, wants to keep it. Katie, let's get to issues that have been in play in our schools. Some of the most contentious stuff that's been going on is LGBT policies, locker rooms, pronouns, and the like. I'm not seeing any leadership from the board, from the superintendent, or anybody else in dealing with this issue. What are we going to do?
I hear your frustration. So I did go to the board in January and just laid out the legal cases that do exist and tried to show them, look, we don't have legal precedents. We did last year, but when that 11th Circuit Adams versus St. John's case got pulled back and said the whole court's going to hear it, we didn't really have any precedent that said we had to do that. And by the way, we never had legal precedent that said we had to allow opposite sex, males or females into locker rooms. We never have that because those cases specifically said no.
If that's the policy we have in play right now.
Well, and so part of that is because we have a presidential executive order saying that that's what they're going to enforce. I'll tell you right now, I'm waiting every day. I check the 11th Circuit's website every day because if that circuit court rules in favor of St. John's County, we actually have legal precedent saying that we don't have to do bathrooms and locker rooms. I've been painted as homophobic. You know, I hate our LGBTQ kids. That couldn't be further from the truth. I think every student needs to be treated with respect and kindness. But I think we need to draw a line because a lot of these things are transitory, especially among our young girls. And I don't.
It becomes a fad, right?
Yeah, I mean, it truly is. I just talked to a grandparent the other day, and she said that her granddaughter had dealt with that, but then she'd already transitioned out.
It was Thank just goodness they didn't do surgery or whatever, right?
Right, exactly. So, when it comes to locker rooms, it's putting our students in a horrible position. It's putting our teachers in a horrible position.
Did you hear the Matt Woodside interview here a few weeks ago?
I did.
If that allegation is accurate, as reported to him, that's a disservice to every family in that school.
Well, and it's putting those teachers in a position where if in any other circumstance, they would get in huge trouble.
Absolutely.
So, it's something I think the courts are going to end up being the final say if we don't. But I'll be completely honest, if we had a conservative majority on the board, we could have made that change.
Yeah, very true. Is CRT in our education materials? Is it being infiltrating into what our kids are being taught?
I think Brevard's done a pretty good job with that. Here's a conversation that my husband just had at the door. We were out campaigning the other day. He said, you know what? If you talk about race in a classroom, that's not critical race theory.
Right.
If you tell about what happened to the Moors, years ago, or what happened to the Ocoee Election Day Massacre, that's not critical race theory. But when you talk about a group of people because of the color of their skin that they can't be successful, or that you start putting people into oppressor oppressed groups and everything runs to that ideology, that's not okay. And honestly, I don't think it's coming from the schools. I think it's coming from the culture, and it's infiltrating its way into our classrooms. But for the most part, that's not happening. I hate when people paint with a broad brush because it's been in the news. I had a conversation with people yesterday and they're like, oh, all of our teachers are doing this. That's false. And it's honestly causing such a rift between our community and our teachers. And a lot of people are leaving because of that, I don't think most people believe that, but it does happen. It does sneak its way in to certain classrooms with certain teachers, but those are the exception rather than the rule.
What about Brevard Public School library porn? Where are we standing there?
Well, I've taken a lot of flack for that because, you want to ban books. Well, my response to that is, is there anybody out there who thinks that something like 50 Shades of Grey should be in our school libraries? And I think resoundingly the answer across the spectrum would be no. Well, then you're making a decision. Are we banning that book?
No.
No, we're making a decision using discernment and saying, there are some things.
It's still in the public library,
right,
I would bet you.
It's still there.
Yeah.
You can, some things aren't appropriate.
What's appropriate for school and what's not.
And the law very clearly describes it. And so we have created a policy that where community members, not just parents, can challenge books. It's a robust policy. It's actually more robust than what was brought to us by an organization that helps us kind of start off with our policies. We've had that in place. We've made it even more robust. People can come. But it's just not the book banning that people on the left, honestly, are crying out.
I think they really need to revise the policy because it takes too long to get something done. Well, we've lost the ability to define decency.
Yeah. And my request to the board when we have that policy revised was, can we remove the books until we make a decision? I was outvoted, and we had to, there's
sure.
five of us, we have to work together. But my fingerprint's all over that policy. A lot of things that I asked for are in there.
We're about out of time. I want to get you to probably a big thing. Budget woes are always
right.
being cried by the board, by the administration. The public at large doesn't buy them because it's a huge budget.
Yeah.
What are the problems? What do you see as the answers? Is hiking the tax rate necessary?
Well, I'll tell you what. Since I've been on the board, we've cut $29 million from the budget. And we have had additional funding, but a lot of times that funding is dog-eared for specific things. Here we go, and I've taken a lot of flack, and just because I'm in front of a conservative audience, I don't change my tune. I'm taking a lot of flack for voting for the millage to go before the voters. One, it's going to be our community's decision. I think they need to make that decision. Honestly, I think the county commission needs to just do their ceremonial duty and let it go out to the community and let them make their choice. And if they vote no, we'll deal with it. But the truth is, our teachers in particular, it's not just teachers, it's other employees, can go across the county line to Indian River and make $5,000 to $7,000 more a year. They can go across the West County line to Orange County and make $5,000 to $7,000 more a year. And what's the difference? So it's not a popular decision, but if we hadn't cut the budget, if we hadn't done everything we could to raise salaries across the board for all employee groups, and we're still losing people, then I wouldn't consider it.
Okay.
But
before we get out of here, we're about out of time. If folks want more information from you or about your campaign, best way to do it.
My website is katiecampbell.com, and that's spelled K-A-T-Y-E, campbell.com. You can also email me at katieforschoolboard@gmail.com. And I also have a Facebook page that has my name on it.
Very good. Katie Campbell, good to see you. Nice talking to you.
All right, good to talk to you too.
Got
to
tell you, 4 years later, much better interview than the first one.
Oh,
job well done.
I did pretty good 4 years ago.
You got elected, didn't you? Anyway, Katie Campbell, thank you. I appreciate it. And Gatto's tired.